I'm your host, Brad Crandall, and in this half hour, Joe Garagiola will talk about one of the great golf champions of all time, and we'll hear about a growing threat to today's youth. First, monitor music. Let's hear the relaxed voice of Dean Martin, singer, actor, and noted temperance lecturer, as he sings, "Lay Some Happiness on Me."
Lay some happiness on me.
Sports with Joe Garagiola, brought to you by Orlon 33 Acrylic, the DuPont carpet fiber that never gets tired, and Mohawk Carpets.
Golfers say they play against the course, not their opponents. I'll be back to discuss a golfer with a different theory. But first, some carpet talk. I want to tell you about this new carpet we got. It's called Mohawk Mode, made with pile of lively Orlon 33 Acrylic by DuPont. You know, we went out and looked at all kinds of carpets, from bargain price to really expensive. And we agreed that Mode was the best buy. Orlon 33 makes it super springy. And it stays that way no matter how long you and the kids tromp around on it.
Springier, bouncier, it's a carpet fiber that's livelier. Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
Oh, yes. One thing more about Mohawk Mode made with pile of Orlon 33 acrylic. You can cover a whole room for about $200, complete. Since we put Mode in our house, it's hard to keep our shoes on.
Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
Professional golfers like to say that when they play in a tournament, they play the course instead of playing their opponents. In other words, what the other guy does isn't important, only what they do themselves. That's probably true. But there was at least one golfer who approached the problem a little differently. But then, he approached everything in life a little differently. And that could be only one man, the great Waller Hagen. Today, Waller Hagen sits in his home in Traverse City, Michigan. He has lost the power of his voice due to cancer. But he hasn't lost his famous smile. And he has a supply of memories that must furnish him with a lot of reasons to smile. The word you hear a lot in sports today is psyche. It means the ability to influence your opponent's thinking. Waller Hagen probably never heard the word when he was one of golf's greatest players, but that doesn't mean he wasn't a master at it. In 1914, Hagen was entered in a tournament in Florida. He looked over the list of other players and decided that Jock Hutchinson was the man to beat. He invited Hutchinson and a few others to ride to the course in his brand new touring car. When the appointed time arrived, Hagen didn't. There were no cabs, and everyone started to get just a little bit nervous. Finally, Hagen showed up a half hour late. Everyone climbed in the car, and Waller proceeded to make up the lost time. He drove at top speed, took every corner on two wheels, and finally arrived at the course. After a trip like that, Hutchinson was in no condition to play golf, and Hagen won the tournament easily. A lot of people have heard about Hagen's performance in the 1927 PGA tournament in Dallas. That was the one where Hagen played in the finals against Joe Turnessa. All day long, Hagen kept conceding his opponents putts from 6 to 10 feet. On the 18th green, Turnessa had an 18-incher. He kept waiting for Hagen to concede, but Waller said nothing. Turnessa missed the putt, lost the tournament. 2 years earlier in the same tournament, Hagen had a variation of the same thing. He was playing against Leo Deagle, and they were all tied up after 38 holes. On the 39th, Deagle had a 2.5-footer for a tie. Hagen watched Deagle study the putt from all angles, then walked over and hit Deagle's ball away, saying, "I'll give you that one." Deagle was so surprised at that, he walked up to the next tee and dubbed his drive only a few yards down the fairway. Hagen won the hole and the tournament. In another match, Hagen found himself down 3 holes after the first 9. On the 10th tee, he turned to his opponent and said, "You're shooting very well. Which is your stronger hand, the right or the left?" Hagen's opponent hadn't been thinking about it, but that question got him wondering. Chalk up another victory for Hagen. There aren't many golfers I'd follow around for 18 holes, but in Waller Hagen's case, I think I'd make an exception. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports, and now this for Vigoro.
When the green in your grass is gone, and you gotta make it shape up, make it wake up with the bold green vigor of Vigoro. The bold green vigor of Vigoro.
You bet. And the answer is simple. Every Vigoro product is tailor-made for the area where it's sold. That's the secret behind the bold green vigor of Vigoro. Vigoro for goof-proof lawn foods. You sure ought to try them.
Joe Garagiola is heard every weekend on Monitor. Time now 15 minutes after the hour with more of everything coming up. So stay with us, won't you? Right here on the Monitor Beacon. This is a song about the lonely life of a lady who loves a seafaring man, the sea.
My man is a handsome sailing man, the captain of his crew. He goes with the sea to distant lands, and he stays a year or two. I have his name, I wear his ring, but I found from the start, though I keep my vows and keep his house, the she-sea keeps his heart. Oh, the sea, the she-devil sea, my lover loves her better than me. By the sea, the she-devil sea, I weep for my love, and she laughs at me. Sometimes when he's sleeping in my arms, I hear the jealousy raging and wild. She raves and storms because he's here with me. And as he wakes, I kiss his lips, and his desire I stir. But with the dawn, he'll soon be gone, and he'll go back to her, to the sea. She laughs at me, the sea.
To most of us, the term narcotics peddler brings to mind the picture of a depraved adult preying on innocent young people. And until fairly recently, that picture was a true one. But now, it appears that the young people themselves are becoming increasingly involved in the vicious drug traffic. According to Mr. Burnell Blanchard, Southern California Director of Narcotics Enforcement, he discussed this frightening development with reporter Roy Neal.
Recently, as I understand it, Mr. Blanchard, you've been seeing more and more overlap between the two.
Yes, where I considered major peddlers to be strictly among the adult class, I find now, and particularly in the last few months, where we are finding what we call major peddlers among high school children. One of our agents just the other day purchased at one of our local high schools marijuana in kilo quantities. Now, we had to overcome an obstacle because we had to wait until 3:30 till these dear little kiddies got out of school so they could sell us kilo quantities of marijuana at $100 a kilo. Now, these are major peddlers. My question now is, what will happen to these major peddlers? Will they be returned to that environment where they can spread their wares and addiction among the high school children?
You mean, or, Mr. Blanchard, that you can't put them in jail?
They are treated as juveniles. And the juveniles, they have petitions filed against them. They're not treated as adult criminals, naturally. And I don't advocate that they do. However, I do hope that the judges will look at this particular instance in a different light, because this is not simply a child smoking a marijuana cigarette. These are major peddlers being turned loose inside of the school.
What kind of drugs do they sell?
Marijuana and primarily dangerous drugs, that is, the pep pills and the goofballs or the sleeping pills, the barbiturate group. And I might add that we had a 14-year-old girl that sold one of our agents 10 kilos of marijuana. That's over $1,000 worth of marijuana.
Is there any specific group of children that could be singled out as the prime offenders?
No. No longer can we say that this is a minority group problem. This is a problem reaching into every facet of this community.
Is the problem peculiar to Southern California, or is it a national problem as you see it?
It's a national problem, but primarily a metropolitan problem. It's a big city problem. We don't find it in the volume in the smaller rural communities.
What are the faculties in these schools? Can they do anything about it, or do they, in some cases, even share the problem with their students?
Well, speaking of sharing the problem with their students, I'm reminded of a situation which has just occurred in a northern college where an anthropology professor came and demonstrated to his class how to smoke marijuana and then passed the cigarette around where eight or more individuals took a drag from the marijuana cigarette. I say that we should take a very, very close look at the professors in some of our colleges that are proselytizing the youth of the nation in the use of dangerous drugs. There is too much permissiveness on the part of the community toward this type of action.
Obviously, the problem exists. What would you do about it to eradicate such problems from our society, Mr. Blanchard?
Well, it's fourfold. You have the legal problems, the medical problems, the enforcement problems, and primarily, I think, the principal problem is the educational problem. I don't believe that we're going to solve this problem excepting through educational processes. Now, that's going to take long-term procedures. The Attorney General has already started a program whereby we can better educate the teachers on how to reach the student and how to prevent drug use. It's too late after the drug use has started. We must reach these people before the drug use commences.
Teachers and perhaps parents, too, should join in such a move. We've been talking with Mr. Burnell Blanchard, Southern California Director of the State Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement, about some of the problems of children and narcotics. This is Roy Neal, NBC News in Los Angeles, for Monitor.
Once again, Monitor Music. Here's Jimmy Rogers with I'll Say Goodbye.
Now that the summer's come and gone, I'll say goodbye. Now that the winter's come going on, I'll say goodbye. I'm not the first man or the last who had a thirst to leave the past. So while the autumn rain is falling, I'll say goodbye. For every star that falls to earth, a new one grows. For every dream that fades away, a new one grows. When things are not what they would seem, you must keep following the dream. While my heart is still believing, I'll say goodbye. I can't be caged in by a ring. So while the chilly wind is blowing, I'll say goodbye. So as the winter says hello, I'll say goodbye. I never ever did like snow. I'll say goodbye. I'm just a man and nothing more. In the face of love, I close the door. 'Cause another rose is calling. I'll say goodbye.
Speaking of saying goodbye, you may have read the news story about the man who didn't. Helmut Winter, the German marksman who's been firing dumplings at low-flying airplanes from a homemade catapult, came down with an attack of acute indigestion this week and had to postpone a projected trip to the United States. The newspaper item doesn't specify exactly what struck the dumpling shooter down, but, well, you can hazard a guess. You suppose he nibbled on some of his ammunition? Bahama Sound, a new one from George Martin. This is Monitor, the best sound around for keeping up with the weekend world, whether you're at home or in your car, anywhere around the country. In the heart of the Shenandoah Valley, our friends listen to us on station WSVA in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Now, a quick roll call of all our NBC stations, then more of Monitor 67.
Monitor reaches all America on the NBC Radio Network.